UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
On the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
So John Clay is going to join us here from the Lexington Herald. I love this. I may have to run this by him. In fact, Nick, tell me when you get him because I will. I think this is very funny. It's a tweet that Connor Orr, who some of you may know, he writes for the Sports Illustrated and for Monday Morning Quarterback. Very funny, I think. I'll talk about that in a second. But before I do that, let me tell you about my friends at Genesis Diamonds. You're running out of time. Valentine's Day is knocking on your door, and you may be saying, oh, my goodness, I still didn't get anything. Well, fear not. Head over to Genesis Diamonds. Spend $199 or more on any wonderful jewelry product they have. And they have the best selection at the best prices, and they will not only make somebody very happy with that wonderful jewelry you got, but they will throw in a free box of chocolates, dinner at Brasserie Provence, and then flowers from Nansen Craft. All of that in addition to the jewelry. All those three things I just mentioned are free. They would be great gifts on their own, but they're thrown in on top of the jewelry. So somebody is going to be made a very, very happy person on Valentine's Day if you take advantage of the special. Remember, it's $199. You get the chocolates, the flowers, and dinner for her or him, whoever your significant other is, at that wonderful French restaurant, and you will have yourself a fantastic Valentine's Day. So there's still time. Fear not. Just head to our friends at Genesis Diamonds, and they will take care of you. They are the best folks in the business, and the best prices on the best selection. It's not, and it's everything. You know, you can buy necklaces, bracelets, rings, pendants, bands, you name it, they've got it, and it will be something that will make a great gift, especially when you throw in all those other wonderful things on top of it. That is a Valentine's Day present and bunch of presents to remember. So check it out at Genesis Diamonds. And you know where they are, Shelbyville Road Plaza, next to Trader Joe's, the official jeweler of the Louisville Cardinals and the Kentucky Wildcats. Speaking of the Kentucky Wildcats, John Clay from Lexington joins us. John, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter. I love this. I want to start with a as it were. Connor Orr, I don't know if you saw this, he writes for Sports Illustrated and the Monday Morning Quarterback. He puts on there, you know, in quotes, as if this happened, Earth ends as God comes down to announce that humanity was a failed experiment and she will be starting over in less than 24 hours. He writes underneath it, every sports writer on Twitter, I spent time with God for a profile I wrote back in 14, could tell back then she was frustrated. I love that because I'm sorry, but then Mike Waters, who's in Syracuse, says my headline would be God puts end. Here's what that means for Syracuse basketball. I think that's pretty much where we are, don't you think? Nick, why am I not hearing him?
Hello?
You there, John?
Yeah, I'm here now. You're cutting in and out.
Oh, so you missed all that good comedy. It's quality comedy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I can hear
all
you
right,
now.
I'm
yeah, I heard part
I'm
of it. I heard part of it. That Connor Orr tweet about God.
Did you Mike Waters from Syracuse wrote, you know, my headline, God puts end to humanity, what this means for Syracuse basketball.
that's
yeah,
with the link.
That's pretty much.
With the link.
Exactly.
If you still have time to click on the link and give us a page view, so before the world ends.
Exactly. I thought as a newspaper man of some repute, you would find that amusing. So I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's get to the matter. A couple of matters of business. Last night, Kentucky's win over Vanderbilt. I mean, it seems to be that everywhere you look, games are close. Nobody's blown anybody out of the water for 40 minutes, but there's a lot of wringing of hands and gnashing of teeth on fans when their teams don't come out and take a 20-point lead in the first 5 minutes and then slowly pull away. They had a rough first half, a very, very good second half, and won somewhat comfortably. And I understand there are years where there are teams that are winning by huge margins, but this is not one of those years. So I think whoever wins this year, the team is probably not going to go on the list of the all-time great college teams, but you're not playing against the all-time great college teams. You're playing against the field that's out there right now, and as long as you're winning games, that's a good sign. And so your takeaway from yesterday, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but to me, the second half, and they won on the road, that's a bigger deal than the fact that the first half was not one that's going to go in the scrapbook. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree with all that, and I think that's one of the things you kind of have to take when you take into context when you watch a team. When you cover a team, I've seen all of Kentucky's, I guess, 24 games now, and I'm sure you're probably the same way with Louisville. When you see a team a lot, you kind of see their flaws, and you think, well, they're really good, but they don't do, they're not doing well in this, and they're not doing well in that, and that may come back to hurt them tournament time. But you have to also tell yourself that this year almost every team has a lot of flaws, or has flaws that I'm sure they're worried about that are going to hurt them in tournament time. I mean, last night, Vandy's really—they're playing better than their 1-9 record or 1-10 now. They beat LSU last week when Vandy had not won an SEC game. They had SEC record 26-game conference losing streak. LSU was 8-0 at the time, and Vandy beat LSU. And I think they hit 12 threes in that game. Last night they had 8 threes in the first half, had a 9-point lead at halftime, led Kentucky at the half a couple of weeks ago in the game of Rupp Arena, and then Kentucky took over in the second half and won the game. So you can look at it and say, well, Kentucky's 3-point defense was not very good. In the second half, their 3-point defense was better, and their offense was much better. They started off by getting the ball into Nick Richards, who was a force both on, offensively and defensively. They've got him going. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, you point to one thing, you point to another. But, yeah, Kentucky's not blowing anybody out. It seems like almost every game Kentucky's played this year has been close. It's come down. It's a 5-point or 2-point game with 5 minutes to go, and last night was no exception until Kentucky stretched it out at the end.
But you're trying to identify. I think all teams go through this. By February, you need to have figured out who you are and who you're comfortable being. And it looks right now, I mean, the frustration with Nick Richards for a long time, as you know, John, was from one night to the next, you weren't sure what you were going to get. I think Cal feels comfortable saying right now, big boy, we're jumping on your back. And he evidently told them that at halftime. And while he didn't have gaudy stats, he definitely impacted the game and made it so other things opened up. So I think that's significant. And he talked about Maxey being tougher in some ways last night. I mean, I think that kid's a terrific player. I saw him in the Champions Classic almost single-handedly win that game. That was spectacular. But all right, well, you want to hear it? Nick's got that sound bite, so let's take a listen to it, John, and then we'll get your response. Here is Cal talking about that.
Second half, they missed, and we rebounded. And our guards rebounded. I thought Tyrese, again, stuck his nose in there, which he hasn't done in games. He'll go in and act like he's trying to get the ball, but he's not. He's hoping someone else will grab it. Today, he went after balls. Ashton was really, if you wonder why I called a full timeout with 2 minutes to go, because he was cramping up.
All right, so what are your thoughts about the Maxey acting like he was trying to get the ball as opposed to actually sticking his nose in there now? Is that something you're observing?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, Bob, but when Kentucky played Texas Tech in the SEC Big 12 Challenge there in Lubbock, our media seats for that game, as my colleague Jerry Tippett said, it was like a flashback back to the 80s and 90s. We were actually sitting almost right on the floor. We were right behind the scores table right next to the Kentucky bench. And Cal, you got to hear pretty much everything that Cal said. And he was on Maxey from start to finish in that game. Basically, because of that, he didn't feel like he was competing hard enough, that he wasn't focused. There was one play where the pass, I think, from Higgins to Maxey, Tyrese took his eye off the ball and went off his hand out of bounds. There was a timeout right after that, I think a TV timeout. And Tyrese, I mean, he's such a happy-go-lucky, fun kid. He was kind of almost skipping back to the bench. Cal, this made Cal so mad, he imitated Maxie skipping. He skipped back to the bench as well and then got all over it. He just wants you to be a little more focused, a little more competitive, and he was last night. He, as he said, he put a nose in there and hit some balls. When he drove, he has a tendency sometimes, especially early in the year, he's got better where he drives the ball and just sort of flips it up there. Last night he was driving the ball and really more forceful and taking it to the hole, and I think that's what Cal's looking for. I don't think anybody debates about his Maxie's talent and his ability, especially his upside of what he can be. I think Cal, just, you know, Cal wants to be competitive. He wants him to be, you know, fights his big thing, and that's what I think he was pleased about Maxie last night. He showed more of that last night.
It's funny. It's a fine line. I mean, kids have to learn in a hurry to act. I mean, they do. They have to come back and realize, even if in their heart, they're really not that sad. They have to come back and say,
right,
oh, what I did made Coach sad. I need to look very sad here. But the other side is how much of it is self-generated, that they're pissed off. He wants to see that. And,
right,
you know, I guess that, you know, to some degree, I'm not sure you can teach that. I mean, a guy either develops it or he doesn't.
Right. No, yeah. That, I mean, you as a coach, you know that. I mean, every kid is different. The old Bear Bryant line, you have to know which one's to kick in the butt and which one's to pat on the back. But, you know, he just wants him to be a little more competitive and a little more focused, and to show that. You know, I think one of the things, you know, to me, and I'm writing about this for tomorrow's paper, about Quickly, Emmanuel Quickly, he's been so consistent. I think he scored double figures in 18 straight games. He's averaging like 18 points per a game over that stretch. He's making well over 40% of his threes. This is a sophomore year. Ashton Hagen said last night, you know, Emmanuel feels like he has something to prove this year, and he's been in the gym and he's been doing that. He's a more focused, more competitive player this year as a sophomore than he was last year as a freshman. And, you know, we don't always get to see that because they're one and done. Same thing with Richards. It's been kind of fun watching him progress from a freshman to a junior, because we don't get to see that a whole lot at Kentucky because you have so many one-and-done players. But I think what Quickly is doing now is kind of what Cal wants from Maxie. He wants him to be focused, and he wants him to be competitive.
Well, I mean, this is the time of year. I always say this: February 1 is just as they're coming at the start of the turn at the Derby, the last turn. That's where the horses are right now. You know, you can kind of get a feel for the horses that are playing themselves out of it, and the ones that are making that one's got a chance to win. That's what you're looking for, and usually that means it has a team identified who they are. And right now, I mean, if you're Kentucky, I don't know. I'm not predicting. I'm not in that business. I don't see them as much. I don't see them enough to say with authority one way or another. But if they go far, it's going to be, they're going to get great guard play. They have terrific guards to do it. Get the consistency from Quickly. Get good games from Hagens and Maxie. And then Richards has got to be a presence in the lane. I mean, it sounds like, well, that's really profound. No, it's not profound. That's the whole point. It's pretty simple. If they can defend and do those things, they got a chance with anybody in the country, right?
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. I think they do know, they're at that point right now where they do know where they are. They're a three-guard lineup. Cal made the point last night. Yeah, he said, you know, we're playing three point guards at the end of the game. We should be making good decisions. And early in the year, we were not making good decisions. Richards is your guy in the middle. Montgomery, you know, he's up and down. He's still got, I still think he's got a lot of talent. And if he ever gets it together, you know, he could really, he's got a good, really good upside. And then the bench, coming off the bench, it's been kind of different guys. At Tennessee, Johnny Juzang had a big game at 13 points. Keon Brooks came off the bench and had 9 rebounds. Last night they didn't really get that same kind of punch from the bench, but they didn't really need it because their starters played well, especially in the second half. But those guys are capable of doing it. Sestina has shown, when they played Ohio State out in Vegas and he had a big game, that he can do it. So I think they pretty much know, you know, who they are and what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are at this point. It's just now to the finish of just improving on those things and trying to improve those weaknesses.
John Clay with us here on the V Show on ESPN 680 105.7, coming to you from Atlanta today. Louisville gets ready to take on Georgia Tech tonight. Let's get to another big story, obviously, and the Vince Marrow situation about his friendship with the new Michigan State coach and how they evidently are going to open a bank vault to possibly up his salary to a potential $1 million a year. I guess he makes about $625 at Kentucky. What's the story there? Is it about Kentucky just matching the money? Is it about him really that close with this guy, wants to go work with his friend? Is he using it as leverage to get a raise out of Kentucky? What are you reading the tea leaves there?
He just got a raise, so I don't know that it's that. I think it probably is going to come down if the reports are true, and Mel Tucker, the new coach of Michigan State, was at Colorado for a year, and before that, was defensive coordinator at Georgia. A lot probably depends on that, the relationship that he has with Vince compared to the relationship that Vince has with Mark Stoops. He obviously has a close relationship with him. They're both from Youngstown. Yeah, and another thing would be whether, Vince, obviously he's done a really good job at Kentucky, whether he wants to see that through and continue that. His name came up recently for the Youngstown State job when it came open when Bo Pelini went back to LSU as a defensive coordinator. I don't know how serious that was. Vince basically took his name out of the running. I think Vince would like to be a head coach someday, and I think if he feels maybe going to Michigan State will help him towards that goal, he might do it. But to be honest with you, unless they just throw money at him that he can't refuse, I'd be surprised to see him leave. But, who knows? I don't know what Vince is thinking right now or how much validity we can give to these reports.
If he were to go, what kind of an impact does it make for Kentucky's football program?
Well, it would be a big impact. When Mark came in here, Mark Stoops with his Ohio background, he said he wanted to recruit Ohio players, and he's done a really good job of that. Vince has a ton of connections in Ohio. If you look at the players that he's gotten out of Ohio, guys like Benny Snell, Lynn Bowden this year, it would definitely have an impact on the program. He would be a hard guy to replace. And I think Mark has done one of the secrets to Mark's success here at Kentucky. What he's been able to do is he's made really good hires. He has a really good staff, and he's been able to replace people that he's lost with good replacements. But Vince would be a hard guy to replace. So I think it would definitely be. It would hurt him in the short term if Vince did leave for Michigan State.
All right, last thing before I let you go. So did you see Hal Mumme plying his trade in the new XFL as an offensive coordinator? Did you see any of that?
I was flipping through the dial on Sunday when they were playing. I guess they played St. Louis or wherever it was, the Dallas Renegades. I watched just a few minutes of it. I was more interested to see what kind of crowd they had. It didn't look like it was much of a crowd. But, no, I didn't get to see much of it. But I know that Hal's in the league. He's with Bob Stoops. But I didn't get to see much of their first game, no.
I think that league has a chance. I don't know, who knows. Maybe they padded it, but the pictures I saw, the crowds actually were not bad. They were all between 17,000 and 18,000, which is not terrible. The games were pretty entertaining, and I think a guy like Bob Stoops gives them credibility. They have I think it's much more football centric than the old XFL, which really was almost like football was an incidental to the WWE marketing stuff and all of that. And I don't know. This league has a chance, John. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out. The first weekend of every new football league has always done great TV ratings. Then the second week, it's fallen off the map. Did you see the crowds in St. Louis? They were on the road, but all the sports bars in St. Louis were, like, packed with people screaming at the TV screen. They're pissed off they lost their NFL team, so they're embracing this new team.
And if they make it as a developmental league where you see guys and then they go on to the NFL, I think, that'll help. I agree with you. Having guys like Stoops, Bob Stoops, Spurrier kind of did the same thing for the AAF about this time last year. It's funny, a quick story. When we were in Jacksonville last year at the NCAA tournament, the hotel that we stayed in, AAF team was staying in the same hotel. There was some kind of problem in Orlando. I think they were based in Orlando, where they had to practice and stay in Jacksonville. And after one of the games, we went into the only place to eat there was late was there at the hotel and restaurant, kind of a restaurant bar thing. And there was Spurrier in there with some of his guys. They had played a game earlier that day. And then, the league folded and Spurrier declared his team the champions of the league, which was definitely a Spurrier.
I didn't know that. That's perfect. Yeah. That is so on brand for him. That's perfect. I like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Hey, John, it's always good to catch up with you. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk again soon. Be well.
Okay, thanks for having me, Bob.
John Clay, always good to catch up with him. And good to tell you about our friends at Lightstream, because they have got an opportunity for you to save yourself some serious money. If you've got those credit cards bumped up pretty good, then a way to get out of that ridiculous interest that is what you're paying. You know, it's the average interest rate for credit cards across the country, this is rather remarkable to me, is over 20%. It is 22, 23, 24%. Lightstream can save you a lot of money on that because you can get a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream with rates as low as 5.95% APR with autopay, much lower than the national average, as I said, which is well over 20%. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. And you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply, because Lightstream believes people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. I have been in credit card debt myself, and I'm telling you, when you get out of that, it's like getting out of jail. Now, some of this is stuff you might say, well, I anticipated carrying some credit card debt because I get some good stuff for Christmas or for the holidays. But the fact of the matter is, good, fine, that's great. You got what you wanted. But now, why pay it off at 20-some-odd percent when you can pay it off at less than 6%? This is a terrific opportunity to save money in the simplest way possible. Not to mention, if you have money on a couple of different credit cards, you consolidate them, the ease of making one payment instead of multiple payments. So it's convenient, it's fast, it saves you lots of money, and you will be paying that credit card off sooner rather than later, because you'll be saving yourself all those dollars each month with those interest rates that are exorbitant on some of those credit cards. Not with Lightstream. They believe customers with good credit deserve a great opportunity to save themselves some money, and I think you would be wise to take advantage of this. And you can do even better, by the way. Well, that's already a great deal, but you can get an even better discount if you get a special interest rate discount and save even more by going to lightstream.com/Valvano. The only way to do it is lightstream.com/Valvano, and you can save yourself even more money. It's subject to credit approval. Rate includes a half of 1% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Valvano for more information. We will take a short break, and we shall return here in Atlanta on ESPN 680 1057.
Show with Bob Valvano is now right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
We're taking you down the stretch here from Atlanta on the V Show on this Wednesday. We are moments away from welcoming back to the program a guy we've had a chance to visit with before. We enjoy his work, and you can find him on Twitter at Mark Bradley AJC, because he writes for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And since I hear an echo in the background, I assume that means he's joined us. So, Mark, welcome back to the show. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
Fine. Thank you for having me.
I want to ask you about Georgia Tech specifically in a bit, but I want to ask you about this one, the recent thing. I guess you only put it up a few hours ago. I think we're all in agreement that the ACC is not as great as it's been in the past, but the college basketball in general does not have any dominant teams. The NBA people keep telling me it's a soft draft. So what does that mean in the big picture at the end of the year? I mean, you still got to put 68 teams in the tournament. What do you see for the ACC as we get down to to crunch time in March?
You know, if you were looking at it right now, if this were Selection Sunday and say Louisville and Duke and FSU were all number two or three seeds, which is I think what they were in the NCAA's bracket that came out last Saturday, you would think that all of those would have a really good chance to go to the Final Four, which is in Atlanta. But you know, I've seen Duke in person this year. Excuse me. And I think this is probably the worst Duke team since the one that lost to Mercer back in 2014. That's not saying it's a bad team, but by Duke standards, I don't think it's a great team. I think Louisville is a good team, and Louisville may be the best team in the ACC, and FSU is a good team too. But once you draw that line after those three, I mean, you're left with a Virginia team at number four, and Virginia, I think they scored 50 points in an overtime game last night against Notre Dame. You know, they've had issues in the past where they weren't able to score, but last year they worked that out and won a national championship. This year they're back to living off defense again. And it's, you know, and then once you're beyond Virginia in the ACC, I really don't know who else there is. I think one of the things that's been a disappointment down here is that Georgia Tech hasn't been able to make more of a move toward the middle of the ACC, given that there's a lot of room in the middle this year. You know, like, who's the fifth best team in the league? Notre Dame, Syracuse, NC State. I don't think any of those are particularly outstanding. But Georgia Tech just hasn't beaten anybody. And it's, you know, we're into February now, and they really don't have a good win. And they're not even on the bubble as we speak. So, you know, I think that, to go back to the question, I think that, you know, the rest of college basketball is kind of in the same position in that there's no great team. But I think that the ACC, you know, its history is such that you tend to think that there can be three or four or five or six really good teams in it in a particular year. And this year, you know, there might be two or three.
What I find interesting, and I'm quoting directly from your piece. People can find it on Twitter, as I said. Don't find it on Twitter?
No, I'm sorry. I know. I'm kidding.
Yes, okay. Yeah. No, but you're right. But I think, and the reason I want to bring it up is because I agree with you. In I mean, what you said, it's all spot on. But the fact of the matter is, if you do look at some of the name brands, and I'm going to put that in a broader context in a minute, but the ACC included, they have some name brand teams that have had ordinary or poor years. Syracuse has been rather pedestrian. North Carolina is one game out of the basement. And you look at that and you say, okay, this is the year for teams to make a surge. And you talk about Georgia Tech hasn't reached the tournament since 2010. Boston College hasn't made it since 2009. Wake Forest has made it once since 2010. An NCAA tournament game since joining in 2015, and was 7-47 in ACC play in a three-year span. So the question is, if this is not the kind of year where you can close the gap on those blue bloods, when are they ever going to do it?
If you're Georgia Tech, that really is a question you have to be asking yourself right now, because this is the best team talent-wise of the four that Josh Pastner has had since he came here from Memphis. And, you know, it's still under 500 at this point in the year, and this is probably as bad a conference as he's going to play in so long as he's at Georgia Tech, and that's kind of disappointing. The first year here, he managed to beat Notre Dame, which was very good back then, and North Carolina, which would win the national championship, and also Florida State. In the span of a month, but there really hasn't been anything like that since, and that's one of the reasons that we're still sitting here saying things like, well, Tech hasn't been to the NCAA since 2010,
and they can't go this year, right? Aren't they on probation? They can't even go this year.
Well,
they're banned, aren't they?
You know, they are on probation, but they have filed an appeal, and as long as your appeal has not been ruled on, the appeal is stayed. So the penalty is state. So this one surprised me a little bit too, because I wasn't aware that this was doable. But if the appeal, if it came Selection Sunday, say, and Georgia Tech's appeal had not been, nobody had said yay or nay on it, they would be eligible for the NCAA right now. So they've kind of been carrying that through the year, thinking, well, you know, there is hope because of the appeal. But you know, they're not too far from the point where I think they might want to drop the appeal, because the worst case would be them not get in the tournament this year and then have the penalty upheld after the season is over, and they'd be out of next year too.
Oh, so in other words, just accept it for this year, and then you could go into next year with a clean slate. But knowing how the NCAA works, though, Mark, the NCAA will probably not rule on it till the Monday after Selection Sunday. Georgia Tech, with a late rush, will get in the field, and then they will have to be withdrawn from the field on that Monday. That's how the NCAA would work.
Because, when it was originally, the postseason ban was originally announced, that meant they couldn't go to the ACC tournament either. So there's, because if you remember, Louisville didn't play in the NCAA, in the ACC tournament the year that it self-imposed. And I think Syracuse did that once too. So, there's a lot of stuff at stake here. Again, the NCAA moves in mysterious ways, and you don't know when or if this is ever going to get adjudicated.
Mark Bradley with us from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Glad to have him with us again. You know what I said, though, and it's not a damning broad brush and damning everyone who covers college basketball, but I agree, there's no dominant teams. Everything you said is true. I've said it myself. A lot of interesting storylines, but I think people are doing the woe is me over college basketball this year because a lot of people who cover it, I hate to say it, but they have to work this year because when the storylines are Duke and Zion Williamson and Michigan State, you know the characters. Now all of a sudden you got to talk about Dayton and San Diego State and Penn State of all people might win the. I mean, I'll bet you half the people covering probably can't even name a player at Penn State. So it's just a harder thing to report on, and it's a bunch of new characters in the mix.
Yeah, one of the things that in the era of one and done, people always look to coaches and both college in college sports as kind of the stability quotient because players come and go every 3 or 4 years. Well, in college basketball, the good players come and go every year. And it's, when you think in terms not of players, but in terms of Krzyzewski and Roy Williams and Boeheim and Calipari and those guys. It just seems like this year, Roy Williams isn't going to go to the NCAA tournament. Jim Boeheim might not go to the NCAA tournament. How are we going to know these people? And it's a year that I've been doing this for 40 some years now, and I don't really remember one that just, you're this far into the season and you're still thinking, things really haven't congealed yet. There's not. We don't really know much to say about this season except that it's a different season from what we're used to. There is no Zion. There is no, powerhouse team unless you want to count San Diego State or Baylor. I guess Kansas is pretty good. But I've seen Kentucky in person, and I would not say that this is an especially great Kentucky team. I think that you just – The brand names, like you say, are not of the caliber that they've been in the past.
I want to ask you about this as we shift gears a little bit. Mark Bradley from Atlanta Journal-Constitution, they have Major League Baseball in Atlanta, so obviously he has more of a vested interest in talking about this. Many people think the Braves are favorites in that division next year. But I've got to ask you about this because I'm a big baseball fan. I don't have a problem with baseball possibly wanting to expand their playoffs to 10 games. It's not out of the question with the amount of teams they have, and it gives everybody, the NFL does a good job of keeping everybody's in.
Hello?
Hey, Mark, sorry about that. We had a slight technical issue. I'm going to see if I can get him reconnected. Thank you so much for your time. That's Mark Bradley of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Check him out, Mark Bradley, AGC, on Twitter. Mark, thanks so much for the time. I'm going to get Pops reconnected here. Take care, man.
Thanks. Bye.
More V-Show after this quick pit stop. It's We Want to Know Wednesday, by the way, 437-9680. UPS Jobs text line if you want to text in your fun facts. I'm going to get Pops reconnected here. Just a reminder, The Take with Andy Sweeney coming up at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Freudian slip. I'm reading something here. ESPN Louisville has committed to braving the cold and getting freezing for a reason to show our support for the over 10,200 Special Olympics athletes in Kentucky. That's right. We're raising money for the chance to jump into freezing cold water for a great cause. All donations to our team will go to Special Olympics Kentucky to provide year-round sports training and competition opportunities to children and adults with intellectual disabilities. Our goal is $3,000. If you help us raise $3,000, Team ESPN Louisville will take the cold, icy plunge. The jumpers will include the VP himself, Drew Diener, the host of The Drive on 93.9 The Bill, Mark Ennis, the host of The Take, and the program director, one Andrew Sweeney, all-around man about town, Perrin Johnson, your boy Nick Valvano, Patty Ice, assistant deputy director to the program director, whatever his title is, but we love Patty Ice, and he will be living up to that name as he jumps into some cold-ass water. Ethan Moore, Phil Baker, Jason Entz, Don Yates, and more. Find the link to donate on ESPNLouisville.com and on our social media pages, or go to Louisville Polar Plunge website and search Team ESPN Louisville. Polar Plunge, the jump date is February 22nd in the Middletown, Texas Roadhouse. Want to start your own team? Go to LouisvillePlunge.com. Hopefully we'll get Pops reconnected on the other side of this break. Just a reminder, tonight, Louisville basketball pregame coverage with Mabin and Rummage starts at 7 p.m. over on our sister station, 93.9 The Bill. And then our boy Ethan Moore will have Coors Light postgame coverage immediately after the final whistle. Your first place to share us, share your thoughts, pass along some texts, give us a call. Also hear Chris Mack and Player Sound, all that and much, much more. The V Show hopefully continues on the other side of this break. And The Take with Andy Sweeney coming up at 3. There, I said it right. It's ESPN 680 1057.
All right. I don't know. This is very odd. We've done the show here for 2 days in a row. And at the exact same time, both days, I just got bumped off the air. I don't know if somebody in the building, there's a giant surge, everybody gets on the network or something. I don't know if that's 2 days in a row. So, Bradley, although hopefully you got to hear his answer, he's appreciated talking with him. But exact same thing happened yesterday, too. I don't know what that is. And the only way I can get back on is power everything down and get back on and start all over again. But here we are, and so we'll take you down the stretch. We'll get to as many of these as we can. Louisville gets ready for Georgia Tech. Chris Mack, of course, met the media, and he had some comments. And I don't remember what order you gave them to me and Nick, but this is the order I'm going to suggest we play them. Let's start with the most pressing one, which is, of course, Georgia Tech. They're the opponent tonight, and this is a dangerous game. They are a talented team, and right now we found out from Mark Bradley, that was kind of breaking news. They think they still have a chance to be in the postseason. I hadn't heard that. I thought they were out. But as long as you appeal it, if they haven't ruled on it, they might. So they are playing for their lives here. They're dangerous. And here's what Chris had to say about the opponents for this Wednesday night game.
I like to think that we're, you know, continuing to improve. I do think that our guys were in a close battle with a team that maybe doesn't have the record. It's indicative of the type of team they have. They do a really good job. Their guards control the game or try to control the game. I think DeVoe and Alvarado are as good as any guards in our league. Obviously, Banks does a great job of protecting the rim with his size, and he has the ability to finish around the basket. So, they're a big challenge. We'll see how far we've come since we've played them the last time.
You got good guards. You always have a chance, and they do have good guards. And you heard Mark Bradley say this is the most talented team that Pastner's had, in his opinion, in many people's opinion, in the 4 years he's been here. And now, evidently, they are playing for something in their minds, anyway. So, these are the kinds of games that everybody else in the country has been losing somewhere down the line, and Louisville's got two of them back to back that are dangerous. This one maybe even more so than Clemson because of these guards. These guards are a bear to defend. This is an important game. They only have a one game lead on Duke. They do have the tiebreaker with Duke, but regular season championship in the ACC, I don't care how down you perceive it or whatever, would still be a remarkable achievement. These are very significant games, so we will see what they can do about that. Chris also talked about, at this point in the season, your leaders really emerge, and he talked a little bit about leadership, and here he is about that.
Just having a pace and not slowing down and wanting to run a set play each and every time. I think we've done a really good job. Our guards have done a much better job of pushing the pace. We'll run set plays when we need to. I think we've got, great leadership in our huddles. I think, some of our older players, have really taken ownership of our team, and I think it's helped our team. And I've said all along that Malik's been a big voice to that, but Fresh Kimball, Ryan McMahon, even Dwayne at certain times, those guys have all had voices at different times during the season, and I think they have a belief in one another, and it's great to see.
I agree with him about the transition. Get offensive improvement I've seen from the beginning of the year. Their transition at the early part of the season was pretty bad, to be quite honest with you. They would have numbers, odd man breaks, and they'd come down, wouldn't even get a shot off. Their spacing was terrible. They all ran to the rim like in fifth grade games. I mean, it was, the energy was great, but the execution was poor. Now they come down, spread the floor, move the ball, and that is when you are very, very difficult to guard. The defense has not been able to get back and set. They're still trying to locate men and get ordered and get organized, and you're moving the ball, and that's when you can get really good shots. And that's, I think, when they're offensively at their best, and they're much, much better at that than they were in the early part of the season. I also think Fresh Kimball doesn't get the credit he deserves because he's not a gaudy numbers guy. But you talk about understanding when to go, when to take the shot when it's there for him, where to throw the basketball. I think he's done a terrific job of that. I think David Johnson is getting better at that. He will continue to get better. But that is a big part of it. Decisions, these are not blowout games. There's been a very few blowout games in the ACC. We gave you that stat the other day. Fully 35% of the games, all the league games. It doesn't matter what matchup, top to bottom, middle of the pack, have been decided by 5 points or less. You saw a couple last night. Very close games, an overtime game between Notre Dame, Virginia, Syracuse, and NC State had a close game. So, even though I'm on the road, I can still hear that. State your business. What the hell are you doing in there? I'm still on. Why are people in there? Why are people in there talking to you?
There's a couple high school kids coming in shadowing us. So he was curious to see if you were doing the game tonight. And I was telling him. What's your name? What's your name, buddy?
John.
John from Trinity.
Bob Valvano. It's my show. Okay. Oh, I thought you were talking to me.
No. I know what your name is, Dad. But we're wrapping up here. So I'm going to go ahead and hit the music. But we have two really good We Want to Know Wednesdays. First legal forward pass in American football took place in 1906 following President Teddy Roosevelt's threat to ban football unless new rules were established to ensure player safety. The revised rules introduced the forward pass. I thought that one was pretty darn good. There's also one here. Planters Peanuts was founded by two Italian immigrants, Amedeo Obici and Mario Peruzzi. And we were talking about Iceland earlier. Oh. It has to involve genitalia. Iceland is where Lloyd Pink Gardner had ram testicles for the first time.
I have nothing to add to that.
The take's next.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.